Some patent holders are rejoicing over a Supreme Court ruling yesterday that allows inventors to sue competitors who appear to be making knockoff products. The decision overturns an appeals court ruling that could have invalidated more than 1 million existing patents. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
A case that lasts 13 years and uses terms like estoppel and doctrine of equivalence is enough to try the patience of a saint or a radio listener. But in the world of patent law, the case of Festo versus SMC is exciting and important. Q. Todd Dickinson is former commissioner of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
While it sounds kind of like a narrow or arcane issue, this was probably the biggest patent case in the last decade.
Back in the early 1980s, a company named Festo used some key patents to develop something called a magnetically driven rodless cylinder. As the Supreme Court noted, these things are used in everything from sewing machines to the Thunder Mountain ride at Disney World. A few years later, a company based in Japan known as SMC produced something very similar. Festo went after them with a patent suit. Q. Todd Dickinson says the issue involves something fundamental to patent law, the doctrine of equivalence.
Another competitor, another inventor can't make an insubstantial change and avoid your patent. And the question of how insubstantial that change is, or is it equivalent, is the question the court dealt with here today.
SMC argued its gadget was different enough to protect the company from lawsuits. SMC said that Festo was claiming a broader patent protection than it was entitled to. But after 13 years of very complex litigation, the Supreme Court says Festo can go ahead and assert its patent rights. That's a relief to a lot of patent holders, like the many research universities represented by attorney Susan Braden.
You don't want to limit the patent owner's rights simply to the literal words. Obviously, those are important in terms of understanding what the property right is, but you don't want someone to be able to make a minor deviation and essentially steal the wealth, the intellectual wealth of the value of a patent.
Research universities know which side their bread is buttered on in this case, since they own a lot of patents but are seldom sued for patent violations. Commercial businesses come down on different sides of the debate, since many find themselves suing and getting sued. Computer chip maker Intel has lots of patents, but the company urged the court to place strict limits on suits. Intel attorney Peter Detkin says his company fears what he calls stupid lawyer tricks.
Okay, my patent may not cover what you invent or what you're doing literally, but you're doing the same thing in the same way to get the same result, therefore you infringe. And that's a very loosey-goosey test that yielded a lot of litigation, and a lot of people were litigating for a long time over that.
But Susan Braden says the High Court didn't completely ignore this problem.
And the court basically said, while we are concerned, obviously, that this may provoke some additional litigation in the system can tolerate that.
Supporters of the stricter standard for filing suits say the High Court did raise the bar for litigation somewhat, but they'd been hoping for much more guidance so companies would be forced to write patent descriptions that are clear and specific. Intel's Peter Detkin says inventors need that clarity so they can better anticipate when they might be stepping on another patent.
What the court is now saying is, well, we'll help you out a little bit, but part of what it means depends upon why they said what they said in the process of getting the patents. Well, I can't possibly know that. Sitting here today, if I look at some semiconductor companies' patents, I can't know why they said what they said along the way.
For the Festo Corporation, this suit is far from over. Festo must return to a lower court and keep litigating before it can recover damages for the alleged patent infringement. The patents themselves have already expired. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.